Hi there, and thanks for joining us on this episode, how we can grow businesses directly out of third level institutions. And we hear about a big energy conference that's coming to Leaside. I'm Jonathan Healy, and this is Red Business.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
Now, you've often heard me say on this podcast how college has become a different experience for people, that it's not simply a case of educating you and throwing you out. Now, we do a whole load of different things to encourage people to set up businesses and to establish themselves in the world. Well, with me now to talk about how CIT are doing this in particular, it's my pleasure to welcome Alison Walsh, who is the New Frontiers Programme Manager at the Rubicon Centre at CIT, and Lucy O'Donoghue, who's the Manager of the Excel Programme based in the Rubicon Centre. It's the only STEM sector programme for female entrepreneurs that is supported by Enterprise Ireland. Lucy and Alison, you're welcome to Red Business. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
Good to have you here. Alison, let's begin with you. New Frontiers, Cadé.
So Enterprise Ireland obviously is the, well, maybe not obviously for lots of people, it's the state agency that supports Indigenous Irish industry who have the potential to export either goods or services internationally. And Enterprise Ireland has a real commitment to early stage startups, and they do this through a number of forums. But the New Frontiers programme is a national entrepreneurship programme for early stage startups, and it's delivered in 14 locations nationally, and in Cork it's delivered in CIT.
So it's obviously, people will use the phrase hothouse. Is it a hothouse? Is that what you do?
Okay, so the Rubicon Centre, for those who don't know, is Ireland's most successful business incubator.
Oh, you
on
say
campus.
That too easily, too
you
easily.
You have to roll off the tongue right. Like that. So the Rubicon Centre is on campus. It's a beautiful glass building, and it houses about 45 to 50 companies, many of whom would have started on an entrepreneurship programme. And one of those is the New Frontiers programme. And it is a structured, supported format for early stage startups to come and help to validate their business idea and ultimately to get them to a point of being able to produce an investor-ready business plan.
Okay, so in other words, what you do is you take the raw material for entrepreneurship and you turn them into something that works in the business world.
Yeah, well, what we hope to do is to allow the entrepreneurs to actually get expert input and advice to see whether or not the business idea that they've had in their head for a while is actually a valid one. So market research would be fundamental to that, to see whether or not there's a gap in the market that they have a particular business idea for, and to validate that.
What's the age profile here? Are we talking about the geeky 22-year-old? Are we talking about the returning to college with an idea that's been rattling around their heads for the last few years?
So it's quite interesting, actually. There's quite a mix. And we've been lucky enough to have students come straight out of college and decide from their CIT course that they want to go straight into entrepreneurship. So we've had...
God, you hate those people, don't you? Absolutely hate their enthusiasm.
These ideas people.
Yeah,
so,
hate them.
So we have had people at that early student stage coming straight onto the programme. But probably more frequently, you'd probably find that people would be in their mid to late 20s upwards. And we've even had people who are closer to... the upper decades, I suppose I would call it. So a good spread, and actually it's extremely helpful to have a mix in the room, because you can have people who already have been successful in other sectors and might decide that they want actually more support in their new business idea.
Lucy, tell us a little bit about the Excel programme. As I said, it's the only dedicated STEM sector programme for female entrepreneurs.
Yes.
So is it women only?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's specifically aimed at women who have a business idea at the early stage but must have a STEM element to the business idea.
So STEM to the uninitiated, so science, technology, engineering,
yes,
and maths.
Yes. So it's slightly different from New Frontiers in the sense that it's part-time and it's over 6 months. And the training modules are delivered on a Saturday to suit the very busy lives of the female participants on the programme, because all the participants are either working or in third level education. So like New Frontiers, we bring them in to really validate their idea, Jonathan. And at the end of the 6 months, they would have an investor ready business plan that they can present to look for funding.
Is it challenging then to juggle all of that? Because it sounds like these are very busy women. If they
yes.
can only do it on a Saturday, life intervenes for the rest of the week. Can you get enough done to incubate a business
yes.
in that time?
Yes. I've noticed that the 12 participants of the programme who started last month, who are either working or studying, are all very, very committed, Jonathan. They know that it's going to be a very, very busy 6 months. There are going to be a lot of demands on their time, but they're totally committed and determined to make the 6 months work for them, so that at the end of that period, they will either have a really good business idea that they can take to the marketplace or not. And I do appreciate that they're juggling work, they're juggling long families, we're coming to the summertime, the summer holidays. But all 12 are very focused, very committed, have a really good work ethic and are prepared to make those sacrifices over the next couple of months.
And I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Alison. What's the age profile? Are we talking straight out of college, older women? And when I say older, I mean people who've got a little bit more experience in life.
Yes, it's both. We have, I would say, from early 20s upwards, there would be two or three ladies who have lots of experience behind them, who run their own businesses or who have worked in industry. So I think they'll all complement each other.
Okay.
So I would say early 20s upwards.
The one 12. Thing that always strikes me about this new way of doing things is that in the real business world, when you're out at the incubator, you're going to be exposed to failure. And and that is a very important part of all of this. So the last thing you want to do, Alison, is to create this idea amongst the people coming through the door of New Frontiers that is the land of milk and honey and that your idea is going to fly. I mean, you're going to have to show a little bit of tough love.
Well, interestingly, the whole concept of the mindset of a successful entrepreneur is something that we address on both the Excel and the New Frontiers programme. And I started the newest group. We've had 12 of them just graduate from our programme. And the very first session that we had was around that mindset piece and the idea of how you can instill resilience to allow the entrepreneur be prepared for, I suppose, the roller coaster that entrepreneurship can be. And in fact, statistics are published around the idea of mental health of entrepreneurs. And as a cohort, they actually statistically have more mental health challenges, I think, as a consequence of the highs and the lows. And they're very heady highs and sometimes quite low lows. So what we try and do is instill in the entrepreneurs that sense of understanding around the fact that they need to have themselves well resourced both emotionally, physically, in every aspect of their life, and that they are prepared for what is ahead of them. So the New Frontiers programme is a 6 month full-time programme. So we talk about how important it is to have the people in their lives well aware of the commitment that's involved to a programme that's going to be very immersive.
You basically have to tell them, look, I'm going to go a little bit crazy for a while because we're trying to get this business over the line. Yeah. Just work with me. The end goal is going to be there.
I think it's really important to have that infrastructure of support around you, because when you do hit a particularly busy time, the last thing that you need is that the other, you know, draws in your life are distracting. You need to be able to have that infrastructure of support around you, you know.
I mean, what are the terrible things in life, Lucy, is that you have to create a specific STEM program for women because it's a sector that traditionally has been weak in supporting women in entrepreneurship and job creation.
Yes.
So, you know, do people come in with a little bit of a cloud over their head going, we have to do this way because we can't do it the normal way?
No, I don't think so. It is a fact that supporting STEM-related industries and ladies is an ongoing debate, Jonathan. It's a long-term issue. It is going to require a lot of open-minded thinking, not just on behalf of the female entrepreneur, but also from industry, from academia, to see that they do get that support. I think that because my programme is backed by Enterprise Ireland and CIT, who are firmly behind female entrepreneurs, is a step in the right direction. Enterprise Ireland does have a female entrepreneurship unit. And I think around 31% of startups at the moment that EI support are founded by female entrepreneurs. So we are going in the right direction. And even with initiatives like, as you know, of I Wish, which happens every February here in Cork and in Dublin, things are happening. But it's an ongoing debate, not just in Cork, but locally and globally. So if we can play our role by every year supporting 12 really ambitious female entrepreneurs to get their ideas out there, then we're going in the right direction.
Do you ever find yourself going, that's just not going to work? I mean, do you have to dress it up, Alison, a little bit? If somebody is full of beans with an idea, and the hardest thing if you created something is to hear criticism of it, how do you steel yourself for that conversation? conversation.
So I don't know if you've ever heard of the concept of an entrepreneur and the analogy around their project or idea being a beautiful child that they've just delivered, or their, you know, their firstborn. And you have the entrepreneur looking at this beautiful idea and thinking that it is the best idea that they've ever encountered in their whole lives. And they show the child or the project to somebody and you can see them wince visibly that maybe the idea isn't actually as perfect as they think. So for us, it's really important to allow entrepreneurs to research well and validate that their business idea actually does have...
But are they open to the criticism if the child is so perfect?
You see, no, they have to be. And, yeah. you know, it's sometimes delicate and it's oftentimes the truth can hurt. But from our point of view, oftentimes we'll come across entrepreneurs who have several ideas. And actually what we want to do is... encourage and support them to find the very best idea and actually to validate that and to see that there is a huge potential in the marketplace for that particular idea. So in answer to your question, yes, sometimes it is hard to speak the truth, but I think it's very important for us to be real about what the opportunity
tough
is.
Love.
A bit of tough love.
You can't beat a bit of tough love. How do people find out more about the New Frontiers programme, Alison, in your case? How do they?
Okay, so all of our information about our programmes are on our website, which is therubiconcentre.ie, and we're currently accepting applications and expressions of interest for the New Frontiers programme, which will begin in September 2019, and that's the full-time programme for 6 months.
Okay, and how do people find out about the Excel programme, Lucy?
Again, the Rubicon Centre website, rubiconcentre.ie. The current programme runs until the end of September, Jonathan, and the new programme will start in January until June 2020.
Just a general question for someone who's seen it from the outside. Can you walk into the Rubicon Centre and have a look around?
Yes.
Is it open to the public?
Absolutely.
I don't know why I've never done it.
Yes,
I've
just
felt intimidated from the outside.
Oh,
all that lovely glass.
Not at all, Jonathan. We'd love to have you visit. In fact, we would describe ourselves as having a total open door policy for anyone who is a budding entrepreneur or anyone who has an early stage business idea. And they're interested in talking to people around how that business might be scalable. And we're particularly interested in companies that have that ambition for growth internationally.
Okay, well, must definitely call in the next time I'm out there for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee.
We'd be delighted to have
you. Very welcome. Oh, yes. On tap.
Alison Walsh of the New Frontiers programme at the Rubicon Centre and Lucy O'Donoghue, also at the Rubicon Centre with the Excel programme. Ladies, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you,
Red Business.
Jonathan. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Red Business. All that's best about business in Cork.
Most conversations nowadays should involve environmental planning. And we're not very good at that in this country, but there's a conference coming up in the next couple of weeks that's going to help focus minds a little bit. It is being run by Energy Cork, and I am joined in studio now by the chair of Energy Cork, Jackie Quinn. Jackie, you're very welcome to Red Business. Thanks for joining us.
And thank you very much for having us.
There's lots to talk about. I want to begin with the Green Bus, which was in Cork. It was on a holiday effectively, but we're hoping to get more of them. Tell us about the zero carbon bus. What was it powered by?
It was powered by biomethane gas. So it was the first passenger zero carbon bus journey in Ireland. And it was done by, I suppose, Cork Chamber, Gas Networks Ireland and Energy Cork coming together. But what was great about this, I suppose, it was zero carbon. So it's biomethane gas converting waste to energy.
So what is biomethane gas? I mean, how do you get your hands on it? Like, is there a petrol pump for it? Obviously not a petrol pump, but a biomethane gas pump.
No. There's no pump as such. But I suppose it's through anaerobic digestion, the gas or waste like slurry is converted into energy and it's effectively injected into the gas system. It will soon be here in Ireland with Gas Networks Ireland.
And how often will we see buses like that? I mean, at the moment they're dirty diesels.
They are.
When will we see the cleaner biomethane versions on our streets?
Well, I suppose it won't just be biomethane. There's electric hybrid, there's fully electric, there's gas buses. There's a commitment that by 2023 there'll be 500 alternative to diesel buses, and from this July there'll be no more diesel-only buses bought.
Okay.
I suppose our target for Energy Cork is looking at 120 green buses in for the Cork city region.
Now, we spent a long time waiting for new buses. We've obviously got a load of them now. Are they going to have to be phased out as we go green?
They'll be phased out over a period of time, but I suppose the commitment is that the 500 green buses effectively by 2023 and there'll be no more purchase of diesel only. So I suppose what we had, the biomethane bus was only one of the trials. There was trials being held in Dublin and Cork with a view to identifying what the right mix will be.
It's about leadership, isn't it? It's about showing that this can be done. And if the Chamber and Energy Cork can get there, and Gas Networks Ireland can do it, then Bus Éireann can do it. And that means that the car driver can maybe start looking at alternatives as well. It's about shifting the mindset. And it's very slow when it comes to environmental matters. And I can't fathom as to why that is, because we know the importance of it. Why is it so slow, do you think, in converting us all to greener ways of getting around?
Well, I suppose there's behavioural change required. It's really ultimately anything to do with climate action is a matter of implementation. And with the solutions are there, the financing has to be there. And I suppose the behavioural change element has to be there. So we have electric vehicles. We can shift our public transport to green. We can take renewable energy from not just wind, from solar. The solutions are there. We're not waiting for a silver bullet. It's all about implementation. So it's about the public wanting to change, and it's about the financing solutions being available.
Mm. Tell us about your upcoming conference. What are you going to talk about?
Well, this conference, I suppose, is addressing the dual challenges of climate action and energy security. We're all aware that Ireland needs to act now on climate change, reducing gas emissions, because we're seeing worldwide the impact of climate change on real people, communities and ecosystems. So we're delighted this year that our conference is being sponsored by Airgrid Group. We believe this recognises the importance of Airgrid is seeing in the Cork region, and particularly we have the Airgrid Celtic Interconnector, which is 600 kilometres long, bringing 700 megawatts of energy, running between East Cork and Northwest France. So again, it brings out, I suppose, Cork as being Ireland's energy hub.
So are we going to be connected to France for energy purposes?
The plan is that we will be, yes. Okay. And again, that will bring us security of supply.
So in other words, we're not just relying on domestic supply or the UK, as is the case now. We'll actually be taking some of the greener energy only.
In the future.
How enthusiastic are people about going to a conference like that?
Well, it is. I suppose that we Energy Cork wants to be the focal point for the energy sector in Cork. I think it has shifted, and I suppose citizens are interested in climate change. They're interested in initiatives. We have had a number of very successful conferences since 2012, and we've dealt with innovation in the energy sector. We've dealt with financing for the new era. I think we're, I suppose, at a pivotal change where citizens and communities are going to get more actively involved. It is focused very much, it will cover everything from behavioural change, energy security. We have a number of very interesting speakers. Our opening address will be from Kevin O'Sullivan, the science and environmental editor of the Irish Times. So he'll be dealing with the challenges of climate change and I suppose the actions required. We also have an international speaker, Mark Livingston from Navigant Energy. Dealing with the challenges of energy security and climate action, but giving us examples of how other countries are dealing and navigating this change.
We've talked a lot about this. And I remember covering stories years ago about putting wave farms on the west of Ireland and how we were going to be global leaders in electric cars, and very little of it has happened. We haven't managed to convince people that this is worth the investment. Are you genuinely of the belief that that's about to change and that Ireland can have a place in the world as a leading green economy? Because at the moment, it just isn't there.
Well, I don't believe it's all doom and gloom. We have certainly some good action in terms of electrifying electricity and greening electricity. So we're very good on wind. But I suppose we're poor on, I suppose, transport and heating.
Well, we're poor on? We're poor on consumer buy-in. And that's the challenge. The consumer isn't buying into it. And again, I've told the story many times before. Mm. My wood pellet boiler, which gave me great service for 10 years, fully renewable heat source, broke. Company gone out of business. Couldn't get anyone to repair it. Had to go back to burning dead dinosaurs. And it broke my heart. And as a consumer, I wanted options. I wanted it to be easy. And it wasn't. It wasn't easy to find a clean, green form of energy.
Yeah, well, I suppose one of the initiatives we're doing with Energy Cork is in 2017, we founded Energy Champion. And what Energy Champion is about identifying renewable energy and sustainable projects. So one of the things we're working at the moment is setting up a sustainable energy community for Cork with the help of SEAI. And we're working on the master plan, and that will identify projects, projects maybe such as domestic retrofitting, looking at the public transport and what needs to be done there. So I think the first step, if we can look the first step in what is our baseline emissions and gas, you know, energy use and gas line emissions, we identify that, we identify the mitigation actions in terms of transport, domestic retrofitting, what needs to be done to our buildings. So if we identify that, then it's a matter then, I suppose, of putting the initiatives and financing in place to make those changes. Mm.
The conference is taking place when?
It's taking place on Friday the 17th of May in the Clayton Hotel in Lapskey.
Okay, so in the next couple of weeks. And how do people go about getting tickets for said same event?
It's available if you go on to Eventbrite. You can register there. I think a key part of, I suppose, our conference as well is there's lots of networking opportunities. We're going to have a networking breakfast between 8 and 9, and then the conference finishes at 1:30, and we have another opportunity for a networking lunch. So I suppose what we want to do is to bring professionals together, stakeholders together, talk about ideas, generate ideas and get some action going.
Okay, Jackie Quinn, we wish you the very best of luck with the conference, and thank you for joining us as Chair of Energy Cork.
And thank you very much for having us.
My thanks as always to all of my guests. Don't forget, Red Business lives on redextra.ie along with the very best content from Cork's Red FM. Niamh Hennessy was the producer, and we'll catch you on the next one.
The only show in town for Cork business, Red Business.